You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. And glad that you are here. I loved worship time, didn't you? It was seemed to be extra sweet this morning, but it was an awesome, awesome experience. How many people know it's a lot of fun to raise kids? How many know that's kind of a misleading statement right there? I love being a son. There's a big part of my world that I'm just simply known as Freddie Franks's. You're Freddie Franks's son. You're little Fred. You're Freddie Franks's son. That's who, yeah. I love being a son. I love being a father. I went from being Freddie Franks' son to being Luke and Paige's dad. And there's a big segment of our life that I'm known as just simply, oh, yeah, you're Luke and Paige's dad. And now I'm Freddie Ryder's grandpa. That whole idea that we're forever a son, and yet I'm forever a father, and the two sides of being a child and then being a dad. That's one of the reasons why I'm pushing the envelope a little bit and speaking today, is because I wanted to speak about being a parent. I spoke for years as an amateur. I love now being an expert. The only thing that qualifies me to be an expert is the fact that my kids are grown. I still say it's always the grace of God. But to share with you just a little bit concerning how God wants our families to work. So when I reflect this week, a lot of stories, myriad of stories, flood my mind as far as parent, being a parent, being a dad. I read a funny story about a mom who was having trouble with her son. It just seemed like he lived in a fantasy world. Everything he made up, he lied about everything. He'd say, "Mom, you don't know, you just can't believe what happened last night. I mean, this spaceship landed in our backyard, and I went and I got on, and we went and had breakfast, and they brought me back before sunrise, and it was just awesome." And Mom was at wit's end, so she decides to take him to the preacher. And she explains what his kid's problem is. Can you help him? And so the pastor decided to use a little bit of reverse psychology on the kid. And the pastor said, "Well, let me tell you a story about what happened to me. I understand your story. You go in spaceships and eat breakfast with aliens and land and are back home before daybreak. Let me tell you what happened to me one time." So he thought, "I'm going to tell him a doozy, and it'll help him to see what he's saying is not true." So he said, "One time I was preaching in the mountains, and in through the door bust this huge grizzly bear, and it was just snotting and spitting and growling and carrying on and scaring everyone. People were jumping out the windows and making doors where there were no doors, and it was just amazing. It was fear, and I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, this little yellow dog ran through the back door of the church, jumped on that grizzly bear, and it killed it and ate it right there. The pastor smiled and said, "Now, son, do you believe that?" Little boy's eyes were as big as saucers, and he said, "I sure do, preacher. That was my dog." You know, kids are a lot of fun, but kids can also drive their parents crazy, and especially those that aren't far from crazy anyway. In this passage of Scripture that we're looking in, Colossians, I love the Bible, don't you? So practical. And, you know, last week we dealt with husbands and wives and how to make the home work. And this is another step in that, because it deals with children. God has blessed our church. This is so appropriate, because God has blessed our church with so many young families. Pastor Michelle is able to slip in for worship service, first hour, and hear the message. I asked her one day before we did the new children's theater upstairs, when our kids were still meeting across the way, I said, "What's the biggest crowd that we ever had?" She said, "Oh, maybe 30, 35 on Easter." I said, "How many did we have last week?" She said, "We had 70, and it was a regular Sunday." And so our kids' ministry have gone from 30, 35 to over 70 in our new children's theater. There's a lot of families that are coming. I talk to people all the time who talk about their church is dead and dry, and they don't have any kids. And I said, "Well, you got to focus on it. We put a lot of money, a lot of prayer, a lot of emphasis. We believe in children's ministry. We believe in youth ministry. We try to get kids to camp. That's why we're having scholarship. We believe that the kids are not the future church, or the church today, that we're always one generation from extinction. We structure our worship and the way we preach to reach young people, not gray-headed people. Gray-headed people are either come on board and get with us, or they'll go to a church where they like they do it like they like it. But our whole purpose is to reach a youth culture." Amen. Somebody else say amen. That's good. Because if you're not, your church is going to die. And it's happening across America. We believe in reaching kids, reaching families. That's why I think I've got to preach this message today. There's a number of reasons. One, because of the subject matter. The other is, my name is Fred Franks Jr. If you knew my dad, that would be enough for you to understand why I'm preaching this morning. My dad pastored the same church 58 years, and he never dismissed church for snow or ice in southwest Missouri one time. If it was him and Brother Leon and Sister Clora that showed up, they had church. And never dismissed for tornadoes, never dismissed for anything. They were going to be there. He scheduled every surgery he ever had on a Monday or Tuesday so they could prop him up in a pulpit so he could preach on Sunday. And so that's the other reason I'm preaching today, is I am my father's son in a lot of ways. And then the other thing, people find an excuse not to come to church, and I just want to eliminate some of your excuses why you can't be in church. Let me tell you, this whole idea of the Bible being so practical, so real, family, moms, dads, kids, and the section that we're talking about today, Colossians 3, 20 and 21, it says this: "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And that's what we're going to deal with today. And at some juncture, a few weeks, we'll deal with fathers. "Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And so we're looking at this very practical subject. I say practical, and yet it is the most mystical thing in the world, being a parent. It's like, how do we do this? And most of us parent more like our parents than we ever thought. We thought, I'll never be like my dad, and we end up being like our dad, that whole kind of thing. And Scripture gives us some real insight into this, and it doesn't do it as far as a dad do this, but it's as a son do this. And being the kind of son that we're supposed to be will help us to be the kind of father. So, come on now. When we learn how to be a son, then we can learn how to be the kind of father that we need to be. In the practical sense, did you ever want to just say, I wonder what in the world my kids were thinking? And we don't have that opportunity. There was a movie a number of years ago called Back to the Future, in which part of that movie, Marty McFly got to go back and see his parents as teenagers, which helped explain a lot of the idiosyncrasies they had as adults. And then I love the scene at the end of the movie where the professor comes back and gets him, says, we got to get to the future. Why? Is there something wrong with us? No, it's your kids. It's your kids. Well, we can't go back, but it might be interesting to think about parenting and being a child from different perspectives. I mean, kids, here's what you need to know about your parents, is really what I'm talking about today. And maybe this will help the parents too, but I'm talking to kids in a big way today. Not only Colossians 3, 21, 20 and 21, but also Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, children, this is another book the Apostle Paul wrote, perhaps simultaneously, but close to when he wrote the book of Colossians. And he's telling this church, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long. I want you just to notice this at the outset in talking about family. Last week, when we talked about husbands and wives, and we gave the biblical foundation for what the Bible means when it says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, and then wives, you are to love your husbands. What does that look like? What does that mean? And I want you to remember what the Bible says, because there's a lot of guys that really mess this up. It says that wives are to submit as unto the Lord. It says to children, they are to obey. Submission has to do with an attitude and a relationship. Obedience has to do with a response. And let me just throw this out. There's too many guys that try to parent their wife. They're wanting their wives to obey them. And sir, you couldn't be further from the truth. You couldn't be more wrong than you are if that's your mentality. Because the Bible doesn't say that you are to get your wife to obey you. That's not, Christ doesn't make us serve him, loving him as he loves the church. He doesn't make us worship. We love him. Why? Because of his love. Why do I submit to God? Because of his overwhelming love for me. So there's two different words here that we're using when we talk about parenting and we talk about marriage. And there's a huge difference between submission and an attitude, and then it's also qualified by as unto the Lord, as it is fitting to the Lord. And we talked about the fact that if we have an ungodly marriage, whether that man is saved or unsaved, ma'am, that in no way are you to endure abuse, and that somehow abuse has been allowed in Christian marriage, quote unquote, under the guise of submission is a misnomer. You need to be out of that relationship, see a professional, and no one should live in abuse. Amen. So there's a difference in words there. And they matter. Words matter here. Children and teenagers, God wants you to obey your parents. And here's why. It's the right thing. He never said it'd be easy. It's never easy when you want to do something and you can't. You want to go on that date. You want to go out with your friends. It's never easy when you're told no. But our responsibility as children, it's this. It's remember we are to do the right thing, which is what? Which is obedience. Well, kids, young people, young adults, how do you know if you're still under this qualification of obeying? Are you still under the roof? Ask your mom and dad if they still claim you on your income tax. Because you move from obeying your parents to honoring your parents. And it's an interesting relationship that happens in that. We'll talk a little bit about it. But kids, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know about your parents. Number one, remember this, that parenting is on-the-job training. If you fly commercially, that pilot has a license. He's got a pilot's license, a commercial license, an instrument rating, multi-engine rating, airline transport pilot license. He's got thousands of hours. One of my elders in my church in Illinois was a captain on American Airlines. And he used to fly out of Chicago, but he would go to Dallas time and time again, get instrument rating, more hours in simulator, changing flights, moving different aircraft, multitudes of hours. And then he had to have so many hours to keep his, a bunch of guys in the church went together and formed an airplane club, a flying club, and the guys in the church went together and bought a plane and shared it, and so we had a flying club in the church. We couldn't sponsor it like this is our club because insurance wouldn't cover us, but we had it as a part of our church. He'd call me and say, "Hey, Pastor, what you doing? You want to go up?" And we'd go up and do touchdowns out in the cornfields and drink a Coke at some old hangar out there, or we'd fly in the evening up to Chicago and have dinner and then back home. But there were hours and hours of training. When you go into the hospital, your surgeon has graduated from the eighth grade, high school. He's graduated from college and has spent four more years in medical school, residency. He's had another one or two years in a surgery fellowship. You go under anesthesia, confident that your anesthetic doctor has been well trained. You go to the dentist. You want a guy that knows what he's doing, not just that he knows what he's doing, but that he has been certified and he has been trained. But the funny thing is, God gives children to young people. Relatively young, they're not too far from being teenagers. And you can read books about parenting, but so much of parenting is on-the-job training. And it's a little scary. It's like a guy sliding into the left seat of a cockpit of the plane saying, "Man, what are all these knobs for?" You know, I'm glad that my doctor, Tuesday, I had a radical hip replacement. And I'm glad he didn't, you know, go in and go, look at these shiny knives. Woohoo! Hey, I ain't never done one of these, but I saw it on YouTube, and it looked like... You know, it's like, though, God says, okay, here's kids, now go raise them. I just want you to know that's why we make mistakes. It might be the most freeing thing I ever experienced in my life was whenever I learned that I wasn't a perfect parent and I made mistakes. And I'm going to tell you why. My dad was a wonderful, wonderful, my dad and mom, wonderful people. But my dad's generation never made a mistake. My way or the highway, as long as you're under my roof. And it wasn't until I got older and he got older that realized that he apologized to me in the course of conversations. Some of the things. Of course, as a kid, I didn't know how to take what he was challenging me with, but I tried to parent like him because that's what I knew, and it was freeing when I came to the place that I realized I make mistakes. Now, I want you to know something. That is not an excuse for being a bad parent. It's a realization to then help us in our weaknesses as a parent. So kids, I want you to know this parenting thing is on the job training. You know, I think now I'd be a great parent because I'm to that point, like, I don't care. And, you know, I was so driven and such a perfectionist, and my kids walked on eggshells for so much of their early years because of my expectations for them. You know, and then about the time you get to that age where you think I'm a good parent, then you don't have a job anymore, and you're unemployed, and you're retired. Then you understand why people say it's so good to be a grandparent. And you hear people say things like, if I'd have known how much fun grandkids are, I'd have had them first. And you come to understand God's reward for parents is grandkids for not killing your own. Here's the second thing about parenting. You say, well, that's not real deep. It is if you let it be. You're not perfect, so you're going to need help. You're going to need to grow as an individual. Here's the second thing. Kids, you need to know this about your parents. They're trying to get you to obey. Obeying is about helping you avoid major pain. Colossians 3 and Colossians 6 uses this word, obey. And the reason it uses that word is, kids, you don't recognize this, but you were born with a rebellious spirit. It's in your DNA. Nobody taught you how to cheat and lie, how to steal. Nobody taught any of us how to be selfish. The Bible says this, write this down. It's not in your notes, but write down Proverbs 22:15. It says, rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child. Rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child. There's a whole lot of things I'm not proud of in my growing up years. I love the Lord. I struggled. And my life, I feel like my life's a miracle that God's grace has allowed me to live. And to do the things that I've been able to do, for what Liz and I've been able to be a part of. My dad was a good dad. I never left for school one day without my dad reading the Word of God over me, praying with me. But you know what? I had a problem, and my problem was rebellion. And everybody in this room had it. And some people, that rebellion, and it, even in all my dad's strength, I rebelled inside. It's like the little kid who his dad in church told him to sit down. He'd stand back up in the seat. He'd say, sit down, son. Stand back up in the seat. His mom reaches over, sets him down. He was heard saying, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. And that's how a lot of people are. There's just rebellion. I'd get in trouble. I was out with my buddies one night in Southwest Missouri. Nobody was 16 that drove. You started driving early. I was at town with some of my buddies. My buddy's dad had a new 73 Mach 2, 351 Cleveland, fast. And one of my buddies in the front seat got in kind of an argument with, we were cruising the square and then cruising the boulevard and a little town, and got in an argument, and we ended up spatting back and forth, lost them cat and mouse, leaving town. They tried to pin us in on a bridge, and we got off, and we were going at an excessive rate of speed when we caught fenders. And we took out a fence line and hit a culvert. And I thought that my friend was dead. And of course, you know, I'm going to lie. I'm going to do everything I can to get out of this. And that's all the details you're going to get. It's about. But why did I do those things? And why did I lie? Because I'm born that way. I'm born rebellious, and I get in trouble. I had that rebellious spirit, and yet I lived in fear. My dad would preach. I thought I was going to hell. Then my sisters would tell me I'm lying, and so dad's going to send me to the boys' home in Missouri, and I was going to have to live there. And then my sister would tell me they're going to come get me and put me in jail. See, what are you trying to say, Pastor? All through life, there's going to be authorities in your life. It took me a long time to get under authority. And there's a lot of adults that are still not under authority. But your whole life is about being under authority. As a child, you're under your parents' authority. At school, you're under your teacher's authority in the academic world. When you go get out of school and you get a job, you're under the boss's authority, the vocational world. You start driving, you become an adult, there are laws, there are police officers and judges who have authority over you. And here's the deal. You parents, let me say this. I'm talking to kids, but parents, you better deal with that rebellious spirit, that kid that won't obey you, that you tell them and they don't obey. You tell them and they don't obey. Kids, God made it easy on you. He gave you a parents to teach you authority. That's God's plan, because all of life, as a child of God, we are under authority. What's the biggest issue all these folks have in walking for the Lord? I'm going to tell you what their biggest problem is lordship. They want to do what they want to do and not what God wants them to do. So it's always an authority issue. And if we can learn authority, learn that we're under authority, recognize that our parents are authority, then it helps us to obey. We obey authorities. I obey. I don't submit to the speed limit. I obey the speed limit. And if I keep breaking it, then I will submit to the law. But you see, there's this obedience issue. And so if you disobey, folks, as children, you know, you get a spanking or you get grounded. If it happens in college, they're not going to spank you. They're going to flunk you. If it happens at the job, they're not going to ground you. They're going to fire you. If there's disobedience to the laws of the land, there is a price to pay. So obeying your parents is training so that you will have favor on your life. Obedience, obeying, produces favor. And it helps you. Again, people ask how long they must obey. Well, there's two commands. Obey and honor. Obey and honor. And it's interesting. I went from obeying to honoring. And in honoring, there was something powerful that happened in my relationship with my dad all of a sudden. In those years after college till his death, I recognized what he was trying to do those first years. And we became best friends from it. Let me say this, and I got to go. My time goes. One of the worst sins committed by grown kids today are parent or children, adult children, who refuse to take care of their elderly parents. That's worse than child abuse. And I just want to say this. My hat goes off because you're honoring. You honor them. My hat goes off to all the caretakers in this room who take care of your parents or help take care of them. You are doing what the Bible has commanded us to do. I read a story just about a mom, and she had a little boy named Isaac. And she gave Isaac a bath and wrapped him up in a towel and hold him on her lap. And she said, "Oh, Isaac, you're getting so big. What am I going to do, Isaac, whenever mama can't hold you on her lap anymore?" And Isaac responded and said, "Well, Mom, then I'll start holding you." Best years of my life. You understand what I say when I say that. But the best years with my dad was the last 2 years of his life when I got to help him and be with him to do things that he couldn't do anymore. I just want to challenge you. That's a biblical thing to do. Number three is this: no. Equals protection. Kids, when they say no, you can't go on a date with that guy. There's a reason. No, you can't go with that group of friends. No, you hear it a million times different way. No, 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 no. Your parents have an incredible vocabulary of no. And it is God's gift of protection. And the older you get, kids, your parents may still say no, but it's for the same reason. Say no to drugs. Now, we know it's not just a national slogan, but no to drugs or no to premarital sex. It's that whole thing of understanding they don't hate you. They don't hate you. They're trying to help you to understand there's a better yes down the road. They're trying to help you understand something that our world knows absolutely nothing about, and that's called delayed gratification. Here's the fourth thing you need to know about your parents. They're trying to guard against a failure to launch. They're trying to guard against a failure to launch. Kids, your parents' objective is not to kick you out of the house, but rather Their main role is to help you successfully launch into the world. And that may happen when you head off to college, when you get your first full-time job, or when you get married. Your parents are going to spend a lot of money to help you to launch. They're going to spend, in today's dollars, over $300,000 from the time you're born to you're 18 to help you to launch correctly. You know, we use the expression kicking them out of the nest. Birds do that to help their little ones to learn to fly. A better term is Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5, which says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. It's not that parents are just trying to kick you out. They are trying to launch you. See, a parent's job is to point the arrow and launch the arrow. And once it leaves, they can't change the direction. Sometimes we wish we could run after it and redirect it. But once it leaves the bowl, it's in a mind of its own. That's why parents spend the first 18 years of your life trying to point you in the right direction. My parents weren't wealthy. They weren't the best parents. Far from perfect. My dad was a rough, tough, demanding, high expectation, which I interpreted as perfection. I never thought I ever brought any amusement to my dad till I graduated out of college. I've shared this with you before. You know how sometimes you'll say about your kids when they leave the room, you'll go, aren't they cute? Oh my goodness, is that not funny? They are. I have no vision of my dad ever saying, isn't he cute? The only vision I had of my dad was, Mom, I'm gonna have to whoop him every day of his life. But I'm gonna tell you something. I get it now. I get it now. There's a reason that me and my two sisters, and I'm not saying this to bring guilt or condemnation, and it's all God's grace, but there's a reason that one of my sisters is a pastor's wife this morning and in ministry, and the other's another pastor's wife, lives in California and serves on the staff at the church that I pastored. There's a reason one of my sisters was a missionary almost 15 years. There's a reason that all of my dad's grandkids live for the Lord. And again, kids make decisions on their own. I can't put my finger on everything about it. I didn't get it until this message. And then all of a sudden, it hit me. My dad was setting me up to succeed. My dad was setting me up to shoot me. I mean, there are times he probably wanted to shoot me, but to launch me. It was all a setup. My dad was setting me up to become his best friend. I never thought of my dad as my friend when I was a teenager. There was another word, more adversarial. But I get it now. It was all intentional. That's what I want to challenge parents. It's intentional. It's intentional because the purpose is to launch our children. How do we want to set it up to launch them? That's how we give direction. That is how we give correction. Let me say this, moms and dads. You put a fence up around the backyard, not just to keep stuff from coming in, Or not just to keep the kids in, but to keep stuff from coming in. You put a fence up around the yard and you fill it with stuff so the kids love it and they play. You need to put a fence up. Be intentional. Not talking literal here. But I'm talking about it need to be a fence. And they need to be able to have fun. No matter how old you are, you're somebody's kids. The wonderful thing, and I know this, for some people, when you talk about parents, the message hurts. But I'll say this. If I had one final point to this message, it would be, he is Abba, Father. He's Father. And if an earthly father knows how to give good gifts or doesn't know how to give good gifts, I would say, how much more does your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? If you didn't grow up with the best parents, you have a perfect Abba Father, a perfect heavenly Father. And we are a part of the family of God. You might have come from a dysfunctional family, a family that's been split up, conflict, and pain. I want you to know this. You don't have to be defined by how good or bad your parents are. Your heavenly Father loves you so much, he knows the number of the hairs on your head. Let me end with this. I don't know how this is going to come up on the screen. Number five, play. Play, number one, play with those kids. Number two is pray. And we talked last week about this, being the prophet. Dads and moms, be the prophet. Prophet, dads, that means you share the word. Priest, that means that you make sure they worship. They learn to worship in church, that they're a part of worship, that they never miss worship. And then king, which Old Testament definition of king is protector and provider. We do these things that we learn and we're growing in marriage. God's going to help us with our kids. Kids, moms and dads aren't perfect. No, I want you to know a little bit about our heart and what we're trying to accomplish. It's just, I'm praying you get it sooner than I did. How many would ask and pray, God help them get it sooner than you did? And how many would say, God help me to get it today? Amen. Lord, I love you. I love this message. I love this word. Because everything in my mind leads to your purpose, your plan. When you say no to me, when you want me to submit and obey, because I do both parts as a child of God. And then I realize you're setting me up. You are setting me up to launch me. And you're setting me up knowing that the result is we're going to be best friends. That, Lord, that you are a good father and that you are helping me to understand obedience and that no is protection. You're setting me up so that I'm not a failure to launch, but I am launched intentionally. That I become the man of God that I need to be. Lord, thank you for your word that teaches us today. I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.